Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back, everybody, to Mino and the Mayor, Hour 2. We've got some great guests coming up, but before we introduce our guests, and one of them is an educator, a teacher, I want to give a shout-out to one of my students. He's 21 today, and you'll see, Vanessa, you're teaching at UWGB, I teach at NWTC. It's really cool to see kids grow at that age because they're learning a lot, and it's like, hey, wait a minute, I can do this, I can do that, and... my man Ryan is 21 today. He's in Madison, but I know he's listening because he just sent me a text. And yeah, Ryan, happy birthday!
Happy
proud of
birthday.
What you're doing, right? Isn't that great?
That's fantastic.
Pretty cool that, you know, kind of at high school wasn't sure what he's going to do. His first class, he's the guy that I said to him, I'm not sure you're going to pass this class. You got to kind of get focused. And that was a couple of years ago. And
wow.
That's really nice.
That's the kind of teacher I was.
Listen. I did.
You know what you're doing here. Get out of here.
Well, yeah. It was.
Wow.
Like,
happy birthday, Ryan.
Wow. Just ignore him.
No, Ryan.
You made it, Ryan.
My point is he's doing great. And I okay. Anyway, so
what's
yeah.
that term? Passive aggressive?
Yeah. Right.
Happy birthday to my student. Good guy. A couple years ago, I said, get the hell out of here. You don't know what you're doing. But happy birthday to you.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
Wow. So, happy
all
birthday, Ryan.
Right. Cool.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hey, hello. Vanessa's in the house.
I got to tell you something. So we're Facebook friends. And it seemed like 2 weeks ago, she's like, oh, the school year is coming to an end. You've been a principal, teacher. You've done everything, education, a school board, yada, yada. From day one after that till now, I thought you people were supposed to like take lots of time off and chill and travel. You don't take a day off doing anything for the community, do you?
No, but if it's something you love, you know, it is. Yeah. It's like being on vacation all the time, right? Because you're doing things you
and
love.
You're choosing to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, except being here, I'm being forced.
We're being forced.
Yeah. Strong-armed.
Unfortunately, your partner in this new endeavor has a bad cold. Nick?
Yes, sir.
All right,
no,
Nick.
You sound like you got a bad cold.
Yeah. Nick, thanks for not coming in.
Yeah.
We're really, really, really glad you're not here, but we're not so glad that we don't have cheese curds
chili dogs.
They're phenomenal.
But so. Actually,
well, Jim probably wouldn't eat any anyway because he's on that fancy diet.
Nick, I'm off it. I would have eaten
that
today.
Wednesday.
You're off of that. Go figure.
Didn't work. But you guys are teaming up for a very great thing. The cause is Feed My Starving Children. We got a bunch of cans here. By the way, for you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I've been saying our cans.
Oh, that's fantastic. Nothing illegal, right?
Nothing illegal.
Okay, fantastic.
Nothing illegal.
All right, great.
But Nick and Vanessa are teaming up tomorrow night at the Farmers Market downtown Green Bay for this very special cause. And Nick did this for me a few years ago for one of my veteran causes. We raised a lot of money. So you guys take it away and talk about what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, tomorrow night is the Farmers Market on Broadway beginning at 3 o'clock. We're super excited. We've lovingly dubbed this Curds for a Cause.
Curds for a Cause. I like that.
Nick has met right here on the show, sitting right
That's
here.
Right,
and
right.
It just kind of, you know, magic doing. Happens. Yep. Yeah. And so he is going to be donating all tips from that evening to Feed My Starving Children. So if you're hungry for some curds, come on down, tip generously. And we're going to also have a booth right next to him, too, so we can learn and we can share more about Feed My
That's
Starving
awesome.
Children.
That's awesome.
And what a great organization, the Feed My Starving Children. Yeah. But I want to say, Nick, and I do know a little bit about cheese curds. I mean, I love them. Nick's got some of the best. He's got the best cheese curds. And that farmer's market, it's going to be 75 degrees tomorrow.
It's going to be
perfect
gorgeous.
Weather.
Perfect.
It's going to be beautiful. Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be great. So, yeah, Nick, thanks for doing that. And that organization, I want to talk a little bit more. Vanessa, you have a big event coming up too at St. Matthew's Church with John Kelly.
Yes. So we have that coming up on September 27th, Friday, September 27th.
However,
yep. And it's going to be wonderful. He did it for us last year as well. We raised $14,000 in one single night from that concert, pizza sale, and bake sale, which was phenomenal. If you've ever seen parishioners bake, it was something else.
$14,000 in one night.
And
that's incredible.
That's our goal for tips tomorrow.
But even more exciting, though, that's not until September. If you're looking for some live music, we have a beautiful week coming up. So Wednesday is the Farmers Market. Thursday, we have another concert coming up at St. John's Lutheran, which is on Babcock Road. And we actually have Paul Evenson. Simpson, one of our board members, coming and singing.
Yeah, I worked with Paul. Neil Diamond?
Neil Diamond. So we have an hour of entertainment. Neil Diamond, we're going to be doing burgers, brats. Everything is completely free, free will donation, free will offering during the concert. So tomorrow will be cheese curds. Thursday will be a show. We're super excited.
That's phenomenal.
You've got some good partnerships, great partnerships.
We
and
really
that's,
do.
I think, a lot has to do with you, but the causes. I mean, tell us a little bit more about what you do with the proceeds and feeding. And
yeah, it's so we don't have a food production issue. We have a food distribution issue in our globally. And I didn't really understand how serious the need was until I learned one single fact, and it was that 6,200 children die every day due to hunger-related causes around the globe. 6,200 children.
Unbelievable.
I'm an educator. When I was a principal, I had 600 children. I cannot imagine tenfold disappearing off the face of the earth each and every day.
Due to something that's preventable.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Think of that food that's thrown away in dumpsters at night someplace.
That's what makes my heart hurt. We see this all the time. And so Feed My Starving Children has just come up a way. You know, we can't do anything about that, but we can do something.
You can't ship it to them. But there's more we can do. And
there's more
come
we
up
can
well,
do.
When it comes to perishable stuff, Nick, I don't know what you do with your cheese curds at the end of the night that you don't sell, but I'd be willing to take them for Feed Your Starving Radio guys.
You know, Nick, I'm going to second that. You don't know this, but I could live exclusively off cheese curds.
I know.
Not be a problem. Hey, it would not.
You'll be sick of them by the end of the night.
No, I don't think that's possible.
I would take that challenge.
No. I would too. I will order cheese curds as my full meal at dinner most times. Man. But these children don't have that opportunity. So no. Feed My Starving Children does. You know, we pass
so
can
awesome.
Pack these meals. It's coming up first week of October. We'd love to have you guys there. It is the most fun you'll ever have in a haircut.
Yeah, beautiful. I think we both done and. What you do, we're raising money right now to make these little packets that are made by teams. And one little packet can feed a...
Well, it feeds a child for a full day. So that packet, 29 cents is all it takes. It's four simple ingredients. But we're the human assembly lines to put it together.
Right.
And the reality is, though, to get those raw food ingredients, we have to pay for them.
Right.
So that's what we're fundraising for. We're raising dollars for that rice, that soy, those veggies, and that
vitamin
blend. And
you can ship that to another country.
All around the world.
It's still good. It's not like it's going to...
Non-perishable.
Right.
Completely non-perishable. It's made in a way that we are, you know, we have to wear hairnets. We have to follow certain guidelines to make sure that's safe.
But
yeah.
Fun.
It's a competition in many ways. Like, it gets loud.
Yeah.
Nick, how's your summer going for you? I know you do so many events and you help out with charities and everything. How's it been going this year?
Everything's been going good. As everybody knows, in June it was more wet than sunny.
Right.
And then I was watching the news the other night. They said 10 of the 12 weekends this summer have had precipitation in them.
Wow.
I would have never guessed that.
No. But yeah, June was terrible.
You know, yeah, whether it's a little bit of, 10-minute rain or whatever, but 10 of 12 weekends this summer has had precipitation in it.
Oh, wow.
Wow, we don't have to worry about
we're
that
still
this
plugging
week.
Along.
No, you've got
we have a
perfect
night
Wednesday.
Coming up tomorrow.
This will
be
the nicest one of the summer.
This is one of the best.
Before it gets hot again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So get on down, get your cheese curds and come enjoy some music in New Diamond.
Where are you? I mean, Broadway's, it's not huge, but it's long enough. Where are you? Do you have the same spot every year?
We are. I'm not sure of that side street. I would have to look at it quick while we're talking. But we are right next to the Corn on the Cob people.
All right.
And then on the other side of us is the Oh So Good Kettle Corn.
Okay, that's a healthy trifecta.
All the basic food groups.
We're checking all the food. Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely.
Job. So we will be in that corner. And then doesn't on Broadway have a beer stand there?
They do. That is in Bernstein's Candy parking lot.
Okay.
That's right before you get Todd's. That's right before, if you're walking south on Broadway, that would be right before you.
We are on the east side of Broadway on Hubbard Street.
Yeah.
Hubbard, okay.
Which is
Hubbard.
That,
I could never
remember
that too.
It's right
there. It's going to go dead end street, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. All right, that's awesome.
I would just like to point out that your definition of healthy is skewed.
Really?
What's that?
It turns into Pearl.
Right. Okay. Oh. All right.
So,
we'll find you.
We will find you. Yeah. It's cheese curds. Yep, we'll sniff you out.
And the deal
so we'll
is...
we'll be there. So a couple things with tomorrow is on Broadway has a thing for nonprofits. So Vanessa is not going to be able to take any cash tomorrow. So if you're going to do cash, you need to put it in the tip jar. Okay. Otherwise, I believe, Vanessa, you're going to be setting up a QR code, correct?
We have a QR code. So if you want to donate cash, put it in Nick's tip jar. If you want to donate directly online, we have a QR code that we'll be providing right at our booth. So no problem at all.
Yeah. So
there's always ways for
Vanessa,
us to take your money.
Vanessa will not be able to take any cash per the rules of the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. It's just one of their rules. So just so anybody that's listening today, you know, just so they know that it's either if you're going to do cash, you got to put it in the tip jar. And I promise all that money is going to Vanessa.
We trust you, Nick.
Yeah, we got okay, camera set and, up. But yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then again, she'll have a QR code.
So
if you guys wanted to do a digital payment.
Right. But you can give her cash. You just put it in the tip jar to you and then you give it to her.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All
right.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like I would rather throw
cash.
Yeah, yeah. That QR stuff is I'm lost. I just throw 20 in.
I have no idea what they're talking about.
Me either. So
what language
we just
is that?
Put the $20 in the tip jar. Okay.
We got a thing here. What if we can't make the farmer's market but still want to donate?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. You can come right to our Facebook page. Check us out. I'll have the QR code and all the information there. Otherwise, you can just go to fmsc.org/Green Bay.
Give it one more time. That was kind of quick.
But if they're missing the farmer's market, they're missing cheese curds.
I know.
All right. I know.
Direct mail.
That's not good.
So
FMC. So feed my...
FMSC. Feed my starving children. .org/Green Bay.
Hey, Nick, are you doing anything Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to be vending for the Packer game.
Wow. Oh, it's going to be 90 degrees. Geez. You're going to have a nice sheen working.
90 degrees? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that. Toasty. We're looking forward to Wednesday, tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to stop out there tomorrow night, and I hope a lot of people do. I'll meet you there, folks. We'll grab a beverage and help out, feed my starving children, and get to hang out with Nick. Nick, you're the man.
And me.
Thank you, Nick. Oh, yeah, of course you. Yeah.
I'm chopped liver over here.
We're going to get a line going there.
Yeah.
All right, Nick. Thanks for doing this.
Are we going to see Jim?
Earlier. There's an event that I thought John was going to tomorrow
night. Which one?
That scholarship, that police thing.
Oh, no, I don't have to do that.
Yeah, I have to do that. So I'm going to get there early. So, but you might, you know, that's probably wise to get there early.
It probably will be.
The lines can get pretty long.
They can.
Yeah. So, we'll be there starting right at 3.
All right.
Outstanding. Nick, you're the man.
Oh, great music. And then we'll see you Thursday for the concert.
Vanessa, stick around.
We'll do.
Nick, thank you. I hope you feel better.
Thank you very much. You bet.
Bye, Nick.
You're welcome.
You.
Thanks, guys.
Mino the Mayor and Vanessa from Feed My Starving Children. I can't begin to know.
That's Thursday.
That's
one of the all-time great songs. When this song came out, I was going out with a girl named Carolyn.
Oh, that's
true story. That's who I used to make out with in the church.
My name's Neil.
All right, we got to send a quick break.
My name's Neil. And spring runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? I think this guy's great.
One of the all-time great songs.
Love him.
I love when they played at college football games.
Oh, man.
They played all the time now at different college football games, and people really get into it.
This is just a great song. They played.
Yeah.
I went to a funeral and they played this.
What?
Oh, I believe it.
All right.
I believe it.
And the people were singing. Isn't it? And that bump. Yeah.
It was one of the all-time greats.
Bay Beach was great.
This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. How do you say welcome to your guests? Say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. Say it with class. Pella's premier doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. Say it with a great deal. Zero interest, 60 months, no money down, equal payments. Hurry, it ends on the 24th. Ends on the 31st.
Right.
Certain restrictions apply. Visit PellaWI.com today. We're with Vanessa once again from Feed My Starving Children. How did you get so passionate about kids? And I mean that, I don't mean just being a mom, but I'm just saying it's like you've devoted your life through education and everything to helping kids. Where did that come from?
My first grade teacher, Bonnie Schwenke. I knew I wanted to be a teacher since the very first grade. I had she was amazing. I got to have her for 2 years because we looped. I actually got to student teach with her during her very last year before, you know, when she retired. She really was the person who kickstarted it all. I wanted to be just like her. And I just, that was the path I set myself on and just kept going down.
It doesn't matter who
we
ask that question. There's always some teacher, and I hope all the educators out there know the impact They can
absolutely
make people.
Absolutely. It's today, life-changing. We are so excited. So today, I'm on the school board in the Howard Swamico School District, right. And today we have lunch with all of our brand new teachers, and I cannot wait. I am like chomping at the bit. Just cannot wait to meet them all and let them know that exact thing.
Yeah. It's amazing because we've had many, many guests on here. And like John said, we'll ask him. And, you know, for me, like a band teacher, even though I didn't become a musician, he just was a great, just believed, you
well,
know,
even Dennis
in me.
From the glam band.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, what that one person.
And I think teachers, you'd like to think parents, but there's just something about a teacher. I don't know if it's more authoritative.
It's a different type of relationship. Right. And there's just something when you have that kind of relationship, it.
We've all with our kids had that conversation where we said one thing and the teacher said something else that kind of the teacher won, you know? Anyway,
is there a shortage?
Oh my goodness. And teachers, yes, absolutely. We need highly qualified, highly educated teachers in our classrooms. It's a problem. We are, here in Green Bay, we're a little bit more sheltered from it, but when you start looking at rural communities and up north, it gets really challenging to find and to fill all the positions. This time of year, we're still hiring and scrambling, even in Howard Swamico.
When I was in the UP a few weeks ago, one of the number one things on all the radio stations was these small schools looking for even like bus drivers, lunch.
Paraprofessionals.
Help, all those things.
If you have a heart for kids, we need you in our schools.
Those small communities, you know, and that's a struggle for their governments because, you know, and the doctors, you know, they'll give you, they'll forgive some of your student loans. Like if you go to WMC and you work in a rural community, I think it's, I don't know what the number is. I don't want to quote the number, but they have a lot of incentive to go to these smaller communities.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. For sure.
They got to remarket. Like a community like Antigo or Two Rivers. But Two Rivers has got they're starting to, I mean, they were at the same population when I lived there, right? 40 years. They really haven't grown yet.
They sure got a beautiful hospital.
And they're getting, they are. I'm just saying they are now. And, but we need educators.
Yeah.
That's probably the top priority.
It is. It really is. And we, for us, as parents, as school board members, as community members, just like showing and just making sure that we are being advocates for those teachers and just letting them know, honestly, like small things go such a long way. Those small tokens of appreciation, sending a text message to your child's teacher, you know, as the school year starts, it means so much. Those emails, those positive things. We deal with so much in the classroom. It is not the same as it used to be 20 years ago. The job is immensely hard. It always was, but it keeps getting harder. Because life just keeps getting harder, right? And these kids just need more and more and more support. And we need to continue to give our teachers more and more and more support, too.
So you'll still take the apple.
I'll still take the apple.
Now, you're going to be tell about this course you're going to be teaching.
Yeah, I am absolutely thrilled. I was invited to teach a course at UWGB, which is my alma mater, starting this fall. So I am absolutely thrilled that it's been a lifelong dream. Beyond an honor to have been asked to teach this class and to be able to teach at the university that gave me so much and gave me my start and to give back in this way. I'm so excited.
What's the number one thing that you're going to try to get across to these students that want to be educators that you've learned over the years, not from a class, not from a book, not from whatever, that you being in the trenches, you learned?
Yeah, just love kids. That's it. Okay. Two words, love kids. Nothing more than that. It comes down just to those two simple things.
And be genuine. Yeah. And you are. I mean, we worked the marathon together and you're just hugging those kids when they came across and you were really happy for them that they finished even though it was the 5K or something. But I think you're right. But you got to really, kids are smarter than I think we think. You know,
oh
they
my
can tell.
Goodness! Yeah, they know if you're being genuine or not.
They got BS meters at a young age.
They really do. Unfortunately, my children have those too, and it's not an easy thing to overcome.
No,
but if you just loving on them every day, that's really
that's
all
cool. That's awesome. That's great advice too. Yeah.
Do they still have the old thing? I had young teachers way back in the day, and they said one of the things that was stressed to them was be kind of a hard ash early on, so the kids.
You know what? I set very high expectations for any of my students listening. I'm very, very sorry. I kept many of them in from recess when I probably shouldn't have. But you know, I was one of those. I had very, very high expectations. But here's what happened. They rose to those expectations and they knew I was doing it because I love them. I always used to say, I'm not doing this because I want to hurt you. I want to do this because I want to help you. And you are free to make your own choices. You are not free from the consequences of those choices. One of those hard lessons that they learned early on in third and fourth grade in my classroom.
A different side of her just came out.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's there. It's there.
I just pull them out in the hallway and say,
the principal and her just came out.
that was in me long ago. That's part of the reason I loved my first grade teacher so much. She, at first grade, I knew like where the line was, and boy, oh boy, you did not cross it.
And they do rise to those expectations.
Absolutely they do.
Like I said earlier, I had a student pull him out in the hallway and said, look, you are not going to pass this course, you know, unless you, mm-hmm. you know, and he just drilled down, worked at it. And it's the expectations. He ended up with an A.
That's amazing.
And I'm not real generous with those, but, you know, some extra credit and, you know, some vocabulary things, but
yeah.
they haven't been told that by someone they kind of respect.
That I believe in you and you can do this. And that's how I got involved with Be My Serving Children.
Exactly.
Here, one last thing before we need to go. I do want to talk about Thursday because we had that amazing Neil Diamond song going on before we went to break here. So Thursday, come on out to St. John's. Thank you, Lutheran Church. We will have a car show beginning at 5:00. Corvettes of the Bay will be there, 6:00, dinner and music starts.
And that's right on Babcock. Easy parking, easy to see.
Bring your lawn chairs, bring your blankets. We're going to pack that lawn.
Again, beautiful night.
Yeah, and the music of Neil Diamond, you're going to love it. It's going to be a great, great time.
So. Well, this is fantastic. Vanessa Moran, thanks for everything you do for the kids and for the community. I mean, this is great. You could just sit back, take your summers off, and do your thing. And man, you just hunker down and get stuff done, don't
That's
you?
That's right. That's
and
what
I think
we do.
Well, you should really get the accolades. I mean, what you're doing here locally, but that Feed My Starving Children is worldwide.
It is.
I mean, we're touching kids in Africa, you know, India.
A lot of our food goes to Ukraine now.
Right.
Wow,
a lot
that's
of our
awesome.
Food's been going to Ukraine.
Pretty cool. So we got to get there tomorrow.
Yes, please do.
And leave some good tips.
Yes. Or come on, join us on Thursday too. Or use the QR code.
The QR.
Yeah, you're going to get
we're
the
gonna
QR.
Use that.
Oh, don't. Oh, boy. Don't. You know what? You two don't use it. Don't use it. Everyone else, go ahead.
Right.
We're on it.
All right. Vanessa Moran, she was. With Cheese Curd Nick tomorrow night downtown Green Bay, and all proceeds from tips going to your tremendous organization. Then of course Thursday night we'll talk more about that, but thanks for everything you do, and thank you for coming in.
Right,
we got to send it a quick break. Bob Hornacek joins us from Paul Pantry when we come back.
Warm, touching warm, reaching out.
Store or Google Play Store, and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor, special thanks to Vanessa Moran, Feed My Starving Children. What a great organization. Of course, her and Nick teaming up tomorrow night. I'm going to stop by and give me your thing. I'll do the QR code for you.
I'll give you $20
you
put in there.
Yeah. Bob Hornacek, you used to be Robert.
I did.
Now it says Bob on his shirt.
It's always been Bob.
It's always been Bob.
Always
he
Robert
just
Hornacek.
TV name.
Coming up next, Robert Hornacek.
Right. That's a true statement. His wife always called him Bob. He liked it. Right. I mean,
that's true.
Outside of his media, his
persona.
His starship or whatever that's. He was Bob.
Do you have any idea how many TV people would love for you to refer to them as their starship?
Yeah.
All
none,
of them.
None. The real story was I was 23 years old, out of college, looking for my first job, and I looked like I was 12.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Robert sounds like a grown-up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good point. So, great point.
Good.
Great point.
Well,
but now you've done an amazing thing.
I just want to say, we just had Vanessa on here from Feed My Starving Children, which is an organization that raises funds and then packs these meals, but in powder, right? And ships them all over the world. It's an amazing, I'm sure you participated in that or covered that when you were in journalism. But you have transitioned, probably one of the biggest transition I've seen in some of my friends is you've gone from the media to running a food service here in Green Bay that if we didn't have that, I don't know what we'd have. And
a lot
Paul's
of people
Pantry.
Would go without eating.
Well, how many, and I want to hear about how many people you feed, but people who come into Green Bay, like the Bishop, when he came in, first stop, Paul's Pantry, mayors that come in here, you know, what do you do about food desert, food hunger, Paul's Pantry, you know? It's just, it's a great organization, of course, started by Leo Frigo, and you run it now.
Help run it. Craig Robbins, our executive
still
director, is still there.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
Yeah, that's okay. He's still there. He's, as we kind of laugh between us, he's nearing the end of his career.
Right.
I'm a little earlier in my career. You know, I'm almost 50 and I still bring the average age down.
I just want to say, I'm looking at your shirt since 1984. That's when I first came to Green Bay to do TV.
Okay.
And I remember when that was first, it's like, what? What's this? It's like, well, that's not going to go anyplace. I mean, who's donating food to? And it's like, right. Wow, in that time span, it's mind-boggling where you started from. And what it's turned out to be.
It really is. It really started as like a fly-by-night operation.
Yes.
With
I remember one of our guys doing a story, and there's like three cans of beans on a shelf and, you know, a loaf of bread and a box of Tide. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And it literally started with Leo going into dumpsters at grocery stores, which I always thought that was kind of an old wives' tale. Like, oh, sure. Until I had a friend of mine come down to the pantry and I was going to give him a tour. And he says, oh, no. I know all about the place. I used to live next door to the Frigos. And those stories are true. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, it wasn't just Leo. I was the smallest kid in the neighborhood, he said. So Leo always brought me along because it was easier to pull me out of the dumpster.
No!
And I thought, oh,
that's
man.
Cool.
That's phenomenal.
How many people are you helping a week?
Well, per week right now, we're at about 1,200 households.
Wow. Households.
Households.
So that's more people.
More people than that. So four people per household. You know, we have a lot of single individuals, but then we have a lot of families of five or six. So it all averages out to about
I just want to jump one thing. What we talked about a little bit about with Vanessa, the food that's thrown away in this world, and you talk about leaders, isn't there some way we can tap into that?
That's what we do.
I think they do.
I mean, like McDonald's, even when they throw things away.
It depends.
I was at Quick Trip that one day. Remember, I got in that argument in Two Rivers with that guy. I was buying my Angus beef, and the guy goes, "I said, here, just give me that. I'm going to buy that." He goes, "Oh no, I can't." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He said, "It's expired." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It expires at 5:00." It was like a minute after 5:00. I said, "It's fine. I'm okay with it." He says, "No, legally, we can't." And it's like, here's this beautiful Angus beef, with cheese, with cheddar cheese.
So that's when Johnny was crawling to the dumpster.
Yeah, pretty much. But I wish there was some way we could. I mean, it's still good food.
No, yeah.
It's the waste.
But I think Paul's Pantry, though, is more of a grocery store. But you're right, John. Yeah. I mean, those things would be good to get to, like, the homeless shelter. I mean, these guys got to, you know, we're always packing lunches for them.
Right,
so.
Yeah. And we
work. They work.
Right, and we work with all kinds of places, grocery stores, convenience stores, food manufacturers, all kinds of places to take their unsaleable products. So,
okay.
So not necessarily, you know, expired meats might be one thing, because there might be a safety concern with something like that. But a lot of things, you know, when you're talking about cans of green beans.
Sure.
That expiration date.
Yeah. Forget about it. That lasts forever. Actually, you know, it's funny. I buy, I'm on a new diet. I've lost 5 pounds. The main ingredient is Spam. Okay.
In the diet?
Yeah.
Can you believe that, Robert?
I checked out the can.
I know.
You know what I said?
That is hilarious.
Expires 12 of 2027.
Yeah. And it's been sitting on the shelf for 10 years. So, yeah, he does. He's eating Spam, which is, it's just like lard and pork. And I don't even know what Spam is, but
top three meals I've ever had in my lifetime was Spam.
Thank you.
Really?
I was in Nicaragua as a journalist early in my career. We were riding a bus through the hillside after a hurricane. It was just terrible. And somebody whipped out a can of Spam and saltine crackers on that bus. And you would have thought you were eating at the Republic Chop House.
Well, that,
it was
isn't
so
it
good.
Well, that's because you were starving. Okay, come on.
That's true.
It has a little bit of, like those Elbow commercials, those dogs would run out. Well, they've been starving for 2 days. So anyway, Robert, 1,200 families. I'd like to think that your industry is on the decline a little bit.
It's not. In fact, as I mentioned before we came on, we are the busiest we have ever been in 40 years. And that's been going on for 2 years.
Wow.
To put it into perspective, last year, so we've been around for 40 years. Last year, our fiscal year goes October to September. So a year ago, we served over 50,000 household visits.
Wow. Okay?
So 50,000 times in that year, a family or an individual came to Paul's Pantry.
50,000.
That was an all-time record.
Tap the city.
It's like the old Lambeau Field when it held 50,000.
This year, through 10 months, we surpassed that.
Unreal.
We're at 51,000 right now.
Why?
You know, I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, there's a massive amount of people who are just struggling. And there's always a segment of our population who's struggling. But right now we've seen kind of the real impact of the pandemic. For a while, there were so many government programs that came in. There was so much emergency food shared and flooded into the system. And as that went away, we started to see some of the real impacts that had been masked by some of those government programs. We also see inflation. I mean, everything costs more.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people who may have been getting by before aren't able to get by anymore.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I go grocery shopping, I'm stunned sometimes when I'm at the checkout. And it's like, $83?
The other thing I'll say real quick, the other cause is the inflation in rent. We're seeing a lot of people's rent go up very quickly.
And you're right, it's back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You need shelter and you need food. And, you know, if you don't have limited money. We serve dinner at the homeless shelter, right, at the community shelter, every night at 5 o'clock. Last night, 170 people.
Wow.
I went in there last night because I did a work last night. It was packed. If you know, with school supplies and everything else, right? I mean, we spend a lot of our money on food in the household budget.
Right.
I mean, you got your rent you got to pay that, and because you may have a car payment, hope not. But so you guys really do a service. Right. It's not like you're homeless if you're at Paul's Pantry.
Right.
You have a lot of people that are just, they need that.
Right, and that was really Leo's idea, was to try to help supplement families so they can free up some of the dollars in their monthly budget to spend on the other things that they need so that they didn't have to spend it on food. So that's our goal. And that's one of the reasons we're as large as we are. Again, we're the largest food pantry in the entire state. We're one of the largest food pantries in the country because the model here is different. We're a grocery store, and our goal is to give people as much food as we possibly can to make it easy. You know, we don't want people to have to run to 5 or 6 food pantries to get enough food. Just like, I don't know where you grocery shop, but when I go grocery shopping, my wife and I go to 2 places usually. We don't go to 6 or 7 grocery stores. It's inconvenient. We don't want people in need to have to travel to different places to get what they need. We want it to be one-stop shopping as best we can. That's why the average shopper leaves Paul's Pantry with like 80 to 100 pounds of food each week.
And because you do supplement families, and I think we've all worked there, you see people, it's like, wow, this is part of your budget, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Right.
It's just, that's why you're there. Like you said, that's your mission. And I just want to say that even last night, there's people eating there that, you know, they weren't, you know, all the rags, the homeless. They were just like, look, I need to have my kids. I need to have dinner tonight. And this is, and that's too bad. I just think it's, you know, I just wish it wasn't that way, but I'm glad they're living in Green Bay.
I remember talking to a Packer player years ago. He's from Alabama. Okay. Grew up real disadvantaged. And he said, when they'd get to the point of had nothing but cornflakes, they'd put water in their cornflakes. They didn't have milk. They couldn't afford milk. And the guy grew up to be 6'4", 300 pounds. So it's like, you know, it didn't hold him back nutritionally and everything like that. But that, when you think about that, there's this guy that I'm talking to. It's not something you're reading about. You're face to face with this guy. And it wasn't that long ago. They put water in their cornflakes because they couldn't afford milk.
That's the key. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And it's worse, not word, but that's a word I'm looking for, but it's more prevalent today. It's a bigger need today than it was. And you'd like to think things are better, economy, but it's just.
Well, there's a lot of people who fall through the cracks. And I will say one of the things, and I invite people to come down to Paul's Pantry, check it out. We are always in need of volunteers. So please just show up and we'll put you to work. But it's really interesting when you first come down there, what you notice is the people who are coming through the line, they're just like you and me.
Yeah.
Right.
Life has just been a little more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what most people think. Most people think, oh, these are people who made bad decisions and they're addicts or they're this. And it's like, yeah, we see some of that. But if there's a line of people who've made bad decisions, I'm guessing all three of us are in that line.
But I'll tell you another thing. And Jim and I were both in real estate, and I dealt with a lot of foreclosed houses. And I'm expecting to just be these, you know, trashed, yada, yada, yada. These were middle-class houses in DePier or Alloway or whatever. And they didn't have good health insurance, or they had lost their health insurance. Let's say the guy was self-employed and his wife had this job and then lost her job and something really bad happened medically.
Right.
And they went from the typical middle American family living in the greatest community in the United States to, I can't pay
the number
bills.
Of people we see who are in the situation they're in because of medical issues is off the charts.
Exactly. I mean, what do you do if you don't have insurance and you walk outside and you get hit by a car here and you break both your legs?
Or you have a heart attack and you get
hundreds of thousands?
Or even
your bill?
Yeah, you get a bill for $60,000 and they're not real forgiving. I mean,
no. Yeah, I will say the people we see at Paul's Pantry, they come from all walks of life. They really do. There's no one picture of what poverty looks like, but we kind of break them down. We actually had a student from the medical college do a little study during COVID that kind of broke down our population, and we showed three distinct groups, and they're about a third. So we have about 5,000 households who are registered. About a third of those are retirees.
Okay.
Think of your parents, your grandparents, yeah. And for the most part, they're living only on Social Security.
Right.
That's it. $1,200 a month, maybe. That's not much.
No.
They're going to need help for the rest of their life.
Especially if they're paying any kind of rent anyplace.
Right. And then we see another third who are people who kind of have some challenges. Maybe it's medical. Maybe it's mental health. Maybe they're on disability. Maybe they have a part-time job, but they can't. They're not getting that $30 job at the mill that you see on the billboards.
Right.
They're not going to be able to hold that job. They're going to need some help. And then the last group we see is a group that a lot of people don't think exists because they see that billboard that says, hey, we're hiring for $30 an hour, which is great. But we see the working poor. These are people who don't have much education, don't have much job skills. They usually have families, and they don't have the greatest income ability. So they're going to be in need. So it's really all of those groups and everybody in between. There's no,
you don't paint them with one brush. Do you?
No, you can't.
But they all need to eat.
Right. Yeah. They need to eat.
Got a great text here. I was working with Bob for something and asked him if he could come to a meeting we were having. He said he couldn't, and he had the best reason ever. He said, feeding the hungry.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. What did you think? Did you hear Vanessa, what we were talking about of, what was it, 600 kids a day worldwide diet?
6,000.
6,000.
6,200, I believe. Yep. Yeah.
It's shameful. I mean, that really is. The problem, we see this frequently at the pantry. The problem is it's not that there's not enough food. It's getting the food to the people who need it before it goes bad.
Yeah.
And that's where it takes places like this, like Paul's Pantry in Green Bay. Yeah. Organizations like Feed My Starving Children. Yeah, I've been there many times. It's a great, great thing to see, a great thing to be a part of, because what it does is it opens your eyes to the reality of
right.
other people's
it's,
lives.
And like she said, and like you just said, whether it's worldwide or here in Green Bay, we don't have a supply problem. We have a distribution problem. And Paul's Pantry, you check that box better than anybody. So,
and we can you stick around?
Yeah.
All right.
Bob Hornacek, Paul's Pantry, joining us, former reporter for WBAY.
No. WLUK.
WLUK. And WLUK.
Edit that out.
You know when you get out of TV, you kind of lose track of what's...
Absolutely.
When you're in TV, you think everybody knows exactly where you... And then you get out, it's like...
Weren't you in Channel 2?
I still get that. We got to set a quick break back after this.
Some things have never changed. That's just the way it is.
Hey, welcome back. Minor and the Mayor here. Had some great guests today. We had, of course, Vanessa Moran, Feed My Starving Children. She's Kurt Nick. They're doing a great event tomorrow night to help raise money at the Farmer's Market downtown Green Bay off of Broadway. We've got Claire Peterson coming up, NBC 26, Neighborhood Focus. We've got Sean Katzbeck from Marinette Blues, Brews, and Barbecues coming up. But we want this guy to stick around. Bob Hornacek, Paul's Pantry. You know, there are so many kids coming out of college, and it's like, oh, man. My dream is to be on TV, be a TV reporter. I get that job. I'll never do anything else. You, on the other hand, got that job, tremendously successful, and you decide, nope, I'm going to walk away from that because there's something in my heart that I think I would rather do or would be more benefit to the community, however you want to put it.
Right.
You know, because you're the only one in your mind would know why you did that. Can you explain that a little bit?
Absolutely. So it really goes back to my faith life really played a big part in it, because back actually 7 years ago, I was ordained a deacon in the Catholic Church. And that's a very service-oriented ministry. And you become a lot more aware of the people on the margins in your
sure.
community. And, you know, I had spent time at Paul's Pantry. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe if I feel like I'm being called to do something else, I've got my antenna up. And I actually, you know, was at the point in my journalism career where I thought, I could do this for the rest of my career.
Right.
Because it was going pretty well, and I enjoyed it.
You get into that niche where it's like, I can handle anything.
But you would know this. Obviously, everything in that industry works on contract.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, but if they decided not to renew my contract, what would I do? So
You pack up the family and you go someplace
right,
else.
And my wife and I are invested in the community. We've got four kids. We're not leaving. So I thought, I'd just kind of take a peek and see what else is out there. So I would do that occasionally. And I happened to see this posting for a position at Paul's Pantry, assistant director. So I called Craig Robbins, the executive director, who's been there since 2001. And he told me the whole story, that they were basically looking for somebody to step into his role when he retires. He had some health problems, so the board wanted to kind of have what I call an insurance policy.
Sure. Somebody in the bullpen.
So he said, learning the whole operation inside out, fundraising, food distribution, business side, employee side, everything. And I literally got off the phone and I said, well, good luck with that. And I hung up the phone because there was no way I was going to do this. Again, if I drew up 100 jobs I was going to do in my life, there's no way this shows up on the list. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. For 2 weeks, it just sat in my gut like a rock. And I kept thinking about this stupid food pantry job. So one day I was taking my kids to school. They're at Notre Dame Academy at the time, and I never took them to school. Probably twice all year I took them to school. And I'm driving that day, and where we live in De Pere, I would 100% of the time take the highway. Webster, 172, home, or back to school. I went through the city, though, and I'm having this argument with God the whole way about this job. Like, I can't believe this is not what I'm going to do. If I'm going to leave television, it's going to be to do some communications work. Right. It's going to work in a parish. It's going to work at the diet. It's going to be something faith related, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. So as I got closer, I'm driving down the road, and I finally got to the point where I said, okay, God, I guess I could put a resume in, but you need to help me out. And I swear on my father's soul, who passed away 11 years ago, as I pulled up to Vanderpearen Way on Ashland Avenue, I made that statement in my head. God, you've got to help me out here. I can put a resume, but you got to help me out and let me know if this is what you want me to do. At that moment, I hit the stoplight. A Paul's Pantry truck pulled up right in front of me, and I thought,
unreal.
Oh, man.
That's funny, because I used to drive my son to school at Notre Dame Academy, mm-hmm. and basically I had like road rage incidents versus talking to God when I'm driving. That's the worst drive of the morning in the world. Isn't it from De Pere to Notre Dame Academy? Right. There is no good way to get to that.
I don't make it very often. That's what I said. Yeah. That's why it was so strange that happened, and I thought, all right, there's something going on here. And
that's
and there
incredible.
Were what I call a series of very fortunate events after that really just paved the way for this to happen. And I will say, I was there just in time, especially with the pandemic. I was there about 8-9 months before the pandemic, which really helped me help lead that organization through a very difficult time, because most of our staff, most of our volunteers,
backed away
70, 75, 80 years old.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of folks, and many of them had to step away because of health and safety concerns.
And I think, what a lesson here, a couple lessons. But one is, I think, people need to have some faith in that there's something else maybe directing them. Some people do, some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's healthy to switch careers. Like, and I'm talking careers, not going from an anchor to a producer to whatever else you have in your industry, but to really make that's a big leap, right?
Right.
Media to, we would call that non-profit for one, but, I don't know. Some people go from politician to radio. It's just unbelievable.
But I got to say this in regards to, because when you're on TV and you're doing that stuff, you think all these other jobs are really easy. And then you get into those jobs like, what did I get myself into?
One thing you realize really quickly is how that the media works on deadlines.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, if I sent somebody an email and I didn't hear something back in 20 minutes, I'm calling.
Absolutely.
And now it's like, I'm not
just
sitting
chill,
at my desk
I'm
reading
good.
Emails
yeah.
all day. Like, yeah. I'm out and about. I'm not, like, I'm
but
not
I do
tethered
think there are
that.
Certain aspects of being in the media that you must adhere to. Deadlines are one of them.
Right.
I think which gives a pretty good background for a work ethic in that way, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Where it's like, let's get this done.
Yeah, definitely. There's no grass growing under your feet.
No.
You gotta keep moving. Which I will say, looking back, and that's why, God is good, and as I look back in my life, all I see are signs pointing me in this direction, because the fact is, this was never on my radar. This is nothing I would have ever wanted to do. I would have never aspired to do. But when I look back on everything I've done from my, early days of working as a waiter and a bartender into television, everything I've done prepared me to do this.
That's true. I try to tell kids that too. These little experiences that you think might not be worth.
Oh, man.
Trust me.
Yeah. Hey, we got another minute, but you talk about the three groups. You're doing a great job. I mean, what does the community need to do? I mean, if there's something we can do to lessen your burden.
Yeah, I think the three things Paul's Pantry relies on most are food, funds and volunteers. It's really a three-legged stool, and we can't do what we do without those three. So if somebody is looking to spend some time doing something good in the community, we are always looking for volunteers. We take just about everybody. We'll figure out what you're good at. We'll work with you. We work with your schedule. Anybody who's newly retired, I mean, we are the easiest place to access because you don't have to sign up. You don't have to commit. You just come and check it out, and we'll work with you to find something that works. When it comes to food, we take it all. We'll do the work of sorting it out to make sure only the good stuff goes out. We take the good, the bad, and the ugly. That goes for food, and it goes for people. And then financially, we are 100% community supported. There's not a dime of government money. There's not an ounce of government food. We don't do that. It's not a political statement. It's a flexibility statement.
Absolutely.
So the donations you make to Paul's Pantry are so necessary.
And right across the street, St. Vincent de Paul, you've got a great area, easy parking. It's just, I mean, I think everybody knows. What's the address again? And what are your
1520
hours?
Leo Frigo Drive. We're there 6 days a week from 6 a.m. to 2, 6 a.m. to 1 on Saturdays. But we distribute Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Bob Hornacek, Paul's Pantry, thanks for everything you do for the community.
Absolutely. It's a
really
pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us
thanks,
on.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll get us in a quick break back after this.